Hi, I'm Sam. Welcome to my podcast, Medical Musings with Sam. This is all about living with chronic illness and finding the best way possible to live a life of faith and hope despite our diseases. Chronic illness is a part of our lives. It doesn't need to be all of our lives. That's the hope I want to give you as I share my story of a life that was turned upside down due to the diagnosis of a rare bone disease in 2014. My life today resembles nothing of what it was before. I was an executive manager living in the rat race, and I love that role. Today, I'm still living a fulfilled life. Different, yes, but so rewarding. I'm a writer, I'm a blogger, and I help people through my online support forum, Medical Musings with Friends. And if life wasn't busy enough, I'm now a podcaster. So grab a cuppa, find a comfy chair, and together, let's find life can still be full of wonderful and special moments. Hi everyone, welcome back to Medical Musings with Sam. Thank you so much again for joining me today. I really do appreciate all of you who listen and give me feedback in different ways. It means an awful lot, especially at the moment. Life has been, you know, a little bit crazy. I don't even really know where to start. It's just kind of been one thing after the other, and I feel like we're jumping from crisis to crisis, but I'm going to try and talk you through it and what's happened and where we're at with things and I guess just continue to share my journey, because I know many of you have similar experiences in different ways perhaps, but you know, life can be incredibly challenging, and how we face those challenges and how we get through those is really important in terms of our overall well-being. So I hope that by me sharing something of my own story and that of my husband's, that we might encourage you to not lose hope when things feel incredibly hopeless. And it has felt a little like that for us, I must admit, over the last little while. So we've been on a bit of a roller coaster yet again. A couple of weeks ago, you'll remember I said, probably a few weeks ago now, I said in a previous podcast, and for those of you that follow my blog would know as well, that my husband was given a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. So we've been working through the implications of what is an insidious disease and thinking about our future needs and what life is going to look like and what it's even like now, because already it's changing quite a bit in terms of managing his symptoms, and he has good days, bad days, even good moments and bad moments. It can be it's just completely unpredictable, and that is the nature of the disease. One thing's definite though, we really want to stay together, and even if that means ending up in a care accommodation situation, we'll make that work. We just can't imagine not being by each other's side. That's just not who we are. It's never been who we are. We've always been a team, and we will continue to be that team. So when you are a couple who both have chronic illness, it's a bit like being on a seesaw. And particularly for us, it seems to be. We seem to take it in turns to focus on our health issues, and one of us generally lands up on stuck up in the air, and the other one's on the ground waiting for the seesaw to be lowered as soon as possible. And it's like we are so in sync with our diseases that we seem to know that they really can't flare substantially at the same time, although that doesn't always work. I was kind of left up in the air a couple of weeks ago because I saw my lovely pain management specialist, and she's such a caring angel, and I kind of knew what she was going to say when I attended this appointment, and she wants to admit me to hospital for a complete medical review from my team of specialists, and she'll just bring different people in. There'll probably be about 7 overall. And so it was supposed to be this coming Monday, the 13th of May, but circumstances got in the way, and circumstances that we just had no idea would be coming our way at all. Anyway, so my pain management specialist is really worried about all the things that are going on with me at the moment, and there's just been sort of, so many different symptoms that are pointing to, well, she actually thinks like a mixed connective tissue disease, but also just, you know, other complications and underlying things that we still have not yet found. And so she's on a bit of a mission to try and find those. She's concerned about my white blood cell counts. She's concerned about the lump on my sternoclavicula, on my collarbone, my diabetes, my large hernia. Just everything. I've got fungal skin rash on my abdomen now. The list just goes on. So admitting me to hospital is absolutely the easiest way for my doctors to investigate, to diagnose me, to treat and coordinate the entire team to hopefully work on the same page. I am, however, really concerned about leaving my husband at home. We do have wonderful friends and neighbours and I know they'll keep an eye on him, but it is a lot to ask of them as well. So I am concerned. We do, however, have short-time respite care approved for him with government funding. So he's not opposed to that idea. So it's something that we're going to just have a little bit of a think about, because that may be the easiest thing to do just yet. So you think that would be enough, wouldn't you? There's a fair bit, isn't it, going on. So could life get any crazier? Well, hang on a tick. That's right. There's still that COVID thing, isn't there, in the background somewhere that everybody wants to try and forget that it no longer exists, blah, blah, blah. As we were beginning to work through the whole Alzheimer's diagnosis and the upcoming hospital admission, we thought we were doing so well accepting the challenging circumstances. And we almost fell into that settled state, knowing that what lay ahead had a plan of action and we could manage it. So life could settle, so we thought, and what else could happen? Surely we had enough to deal with. You know what? Never say never. A couple of weeks ago, end of April, it was a Friday morning. I woke up and my husband was obviously lying next to me in bed and had this really sinister sounding cough. He just had his annual flu shot a couple of days before and I thought maybe he was just having a bit of a reaction. I'd had a bit of reaction to mine, so I thought, you know, it's not out of the question. And I knew a few friends who had also had similar side effects for the first time. And this is all people, including ourselves, who never have side effects to injections. So it was kind of interesting. But his cough sounded a little different. It kind of had a sort of a sinister, serious sound to it, if that makes sense. And to be honest, I was worried, you know, given his age and he hadn't been very well and the Alzheimer's and everything else, I was a little bit worried that he might be getting pneumonia. Anyway, I had a couple of COVID tests, the rat tests in the cupboard, and I thought maybe we should just test to be safe, never expecting it to be an issue because we have had every single vaccination that we could possibly have. We went through the entire pandemic and never had the virus. And so I guess I just thought we were maybe immune and we'd done the right thing and therefore we weren't going to get it. So to our surprise, my husband tested positive, but I was negative. And he had, as I said, 5 vaccines, never had it before. So we were really, really surprised. But what happened next, I just never, ever expected. And I never, ever want it to happen again. And it is etched in my mind. I'll try and keep this as short as possible because it's a fairly long story. But so long story short, it just got complicated. It was Saturday morning. So it was the day after Peter had tested positive. He woke up really unwell with a cough even worse than the day before. He was, as I said, vaccinated, but he had tested positive and my test was negative. We isolated, he moved into the guest room and I managed to get him on antivirals through an online doctor. On the Sunday morning, he was even worse. He didn't want me to ring an ambulance, but I really should have. He was, however, a little better in the afternoon. So I decided just to keep monitoring him because I knew he didn't want to go to hospital. But Sunday evening, it was around 10:30 and I was lying on the bed, and he was going into the guest room because we, as I said, we were isolating, and but we were going to have some supper together, and we were just kind of, you know, about to get that organized. But I heard a huge thud come from his room, and silence, a thud and silence. I called out, nothing, no response. And I raced, which is a ridiculous thing on broken bones and my back, and I just shouldn't have done it because I can't hardly move at all now, and I can't stand. My nerves are so compressed from the unstable spine. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, all that aside, you do what you do, don't you? Because if you love someone, you're not going to just leave them if something you think has gone wrong. So I got to the room to see what had happened, and he was lying on the floor, sort of, with his head in a chair, but it wasn't a soft chair, it was a hard armed chair. So his face was like smashed into the arm of the chair, and his body slumped on the ground, if that makes sense. But there was vomit everywhere, and he was unconscious. And while he was unconscious and unresponsive, he was still vomiting, and I knew that that wasn't good, and it was just so scary. And I had to get to the phone on the other side of the house to ring 000. I tried to rally him first. I knew I had to get him on his side into a recovery position, but he was so unresponsive. He just wouldn't respond at all. And I couldn't move him because of my own disabilities. And it was just awful. And I remember standing there and I said to him, because he had gone for a moment, and I just said, are you dead? I just didn't know what to do. Anyway, I knew I had to get an ambulance. So I got to that phone as fast as I could and rang 000. As I said, when I got back to the room, he was still in that state. He was still lifeless, and he was still vomiting. And it was just horrible. I rang the ambulance, and the lady on the phone was just so amazing. She just got it immediately that there was something incredibly wrong. He eventually came round enough just for me to be able to just kind of push him onto the floor and get him onto that side position. He still wasn't talking, and his eyes just were open and no blinking, nothing, just open. Just chilling, just absolutely chilling. Anyway, the ambulance finally arrived, and he was taken to hospital. In between all of that, though, our beautiful neighbour who lives across the road, she came over. I rang her on the mobile because I just looked at everything and I thought, there is no way I'm going to be able to cope with any of this, even when he goes to hospital, which I knew would happen. Because the vomit was everywhere, and it was just, it wasn't tiled floor, it was carpet, it was in all the chairs, it was just, and it was all full of COVID. So I knew I would have to try and clean it up. And I just didn't, honestly, it was just on top of, I was more concerned about Peter than anything else. And so anyway, I rang the neighbour, and she didn't answer. So I just couldn't even leave a message. I just left it, but she knew something was wrong. So she came over, which was just beautiful, straight away, because she looked out the window, she could see the lights on, she knew there was something wrong. And she just stayed the entire time, and together until about 2 o'clock in the morning, we just cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and detoxed that room. It's probably the cleanest room in Australia. It's just, honestly, we use so much cleaning product, but everything came out. I could not believe it. And it had a really interesting smell. I'm calling it the COVID smell, because it just, I don't know, there's something different about it. And every time I could smell that smell, even over the next couple of days, I would find a tiny bit of a stain, or even in the bathroom, there was a spot where I hadn't realized that he had vomited, and but then as soon as you got rid of it, the smell went. It was unbelievable. So, yeah. So anyway, my house is now completely detoxed, which is fantastic. But oh, I do not know what I would have done without my neighbour. But then she left, and it was about 2:30, and I suddenly realised I had no idea which hospital they'd taken my husband to. My heart just sank because I remember the ambulance driver saying that our regular hospital wouldn't accept him, and so they were going to drive around and see who would, which is fair enough. And I knew they were going to a local public one, and then they were going to, if that didn't work, they'd go to some others. But I thought by that time in the morning that they would have called me to say where he was, and I'd had no phone call. So all of a sudden, not only was my husband in a critical condition, I suddenly didn't even know where he was, which is a really horrible feeling. So I started ringing around, and finally found him. And yeah, I rang the first hospital which I thought they were going to take him to. They had no record of him. They told me to ring another hospital. Rang that hospital. They had no record of him. And I suddenly thought, I'm going to keep ringing these hospitals. Somebody's got to help me here. So I said to that hospital, the second hospital I rang, I said, surely there is a number for the ambulance department where I can ring to say where someone has been taken. And the guy said, oh, that's a good idea. Anyway, he got me a number. Sure enough, I rang that number, and within 2 minutes, very apologetically, was told where my husband had been taken. And he had been taken to one of the public hospitals in the city, which was a lovely hospital. And I was quite okay with that and very relieved to know where he was. So, So I eventually, and I didn't think it would happen, but I think it was, I only got 1 hour's sleep that night. I think it must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning. I decided to try and ring his mobile, and the nurses, he was in a critical care unit, but the nurses had given him his phone, and he did answer, which was such a relief. Oh my goodness, but he didn't sound anything like my husband at all. It had affected his voice, and it was just horrible. And yeah, he just felt terrible, and they couldn't get his oxygen levels up. He had COVID lungs, what they call COVID lungs, and that's where the it's very different to pneumonia, which sits sort of at the bottom of the lungs. The COVID lungs, there's like this sort of, I guess, grayness that sits on the outside of the lungs, and it is quite fuzzy as opposed to a pneumonia-type pattern. So he had that. They couldn't get his oxygen levels up despite him being on a high level of oxygen. So, you know, there was a road ahead. Monday, I woke up with a sore throat, which you probably hear my voice is still not great. By Monday night, I had the hacking cough, but I also had a really bad sinus infection with it too. So I did a RATS test on the Tuesday morning, and it came up positive immediately, but not, and I mean immediately. You know how, for those of you who have done the test, usually the line to say that it's a correct test comes up first, and if you end up positive generally, then the other line comes up afterwards. Mine, as the sort of redness went up the little cassette where the test is conducted, the actual COVID line came up immediately, and it was bright red. And then the other line came up to say that the test was correct. That is how positive I was. So I immediately rang my GP, but he was sick. but his colleague rang me, and she was absolutely beautiful. She ordered antivirals, some antibiotics, some anti-sickness, a puffer, and she wanted me to increase my prednisone. So I was a little bit scared to go up as high as she wanted me to go, just because it's so hard for me to get down. So I only went up to 40 milligrams instead of 50 milligrams, which didn't quite work because now I'm stuck on 44 milligrams because I had to go up a little bit, and I keep having to sort of go up every few days, unfortunately, because symptoms keep flaring. Anyway, she told me if I had blue lips or shortness of breath to ring 000. I also have registered nurses coming in every couple of days, which is really handy just to check on oxygen and all that kind of stuff. So oxygen levels in my lungs, etc. So anyway, thankfully, my husband's condition stabilised enough for him to come home after about 6 days. And he was really unwell, but stable. But yeah, it was a lot of work when he came home, particularly because I wasn't well as well. So I'm just a few days behind him in my journey and I'm still not great. He only just tested negative a couple of days ago. I am still testing positive and it's day 18. So we're keeping an eye on it all, but we've got no idea where we got it from. None whatsoever. It just, yeah, just absolutely baffles us. But I want to say to my chronic illness friends, those of you that are listening, please be careful at the moment. I know it's going around. So many people that I know have got it and there must be a new strain. I can't think what else it is. So please be extra careful. It is still alive and well and it's doing its best to knock us down or worse for those of us that are elderly, immune compromised, whatever. State we sit in terms of our condition, it's certainly determined to kill. And that's a scary thing to say, but it is, and you can feel it. So if you're generally healthy and you think it's much ado about nothing, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. You know, the vulnerable and the disabled and those with weakened immune systems, they need protection. And even if you don't agree with vaccinations, please just keep your hands sanitized. Stay at home if you are sick because it makes a huge difference in containing any viral outbreak, whether it be the flu or, anything, RSV. There's many things that are quite horrific that are going around. You know, I don't think I'm ever going to get rid of the vision of my husband slumped half on the floor with his head slammed into the arm of a chair, unconscious, vomiting while unresponsive. I have never been so scared in all my life. I'm so blessed to have him home. We so nearly lost him. That vision is the reality of this insidious disease. Please, please take care, everyone, and please look out for other people. It just is just so, so important. And if you saw what I saw, you honestly would be doing everything possible to try and stamp out this terrible virus. Thank you for listening. I know today's been, you know, a little bit difficult in terms of what I would normally talk about in a podcast, but I think it's really important. And you know, we have got a long recovery ahead of us and I'm a little concerned we might get long COVID, particularly given my health and given how this whole thing is progressing with me. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. In the meantime, I'm going to remain as optimistic as possible, as I usually do, and just, try and rest as much as possible as well, which I'm finding very hard to do because we are just so busy. But, got to be able to do what's right for you too, don't you? So take care, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I will give you an update in coming weeks, I would say, as things continue along, hopefully a path of healing because that's what we need. So thank you again and I love you loads and I will talk to you again really soon. See ya. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to this podcast or you can leave a review. I would really appreciate your support. If you would like to have more of my medical musings in your world on a regular basis, I also have a blog which you can find at www.mymedmusings.com. I post there at least weekly, so there's lots for you to read and be involved with. If you would really like to be a part of a nurturing community, Medical Musings with Friends is a private support group on Facebook, offering the hand of friendship, support, true care and understanding to anyone living with chronic illness. We would love to welcome you into our community. Just search Medical Musings with Friends on Facebook, click join, and you will receive the warmest of welcomes. I also have a book, My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith, and hope living with a rare disease. It's available now through Amazon and my publisher, Imagine We Publishers. I would love for you to check it out. There's something in the My Medical Musings world for everyone. Something different to suit your needs. I hope you do find something that resonates with you and helps you feel you are not alone. Because you're not. Remember, chronic illness is a part of your life, not all of your life. Take care.